This will be the third sermon in our sermon series in Malachi. And in the book of Malachi, we see just the faithlessness of Judah at this time, the faithlessness of God's people. And yet, we see God's faithfulness on full display, starting in verse 10. Have we not all one Father? Has not one God created us? Why then are we faithless to one another, profaning the covenant of our fathers? Judah has been faithless. An abomination has been committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. For Judah has profaned the sanctuary of the Lord, which he loves, and has married the daughter of a foreign god. May the Lord cut off from the tents of Jacob any descendants of men of the man who does this, who brings an offering to the Lord of hosts. And this second thing you do, you cover the Lord's altar with tears, with weeping and groaning, because he no longer regards the offering or accepts it with favor from your hand. But you say, why does he not? Because the Lord was witness between you and the wife of your youth, to you, to whom you have been faithless, though she is your companion and your wife by covenant. Did he not make them one with a portion of the Spirit in their union? And what was the one God seeking? Godly offspring. So guard yourselves in your spirit, and let none of you be faithless to the wife of your youth. For the man who does not love his wife but divorces her, says the Lord, the God of Israel, covers his garment with violence, says the Lord of hosts. So guard yourselves and your spirit, and do not be faithless. This is the word of the Lord. May he write its truths upon our hearts. May I just ask, can you guys hear okay in the back corner? I know the AC is loud, and I want to make sure we can all hear clearly. Have you ever had a cookie where the baker forgot to put sugar in the cookie? Maybe you can imagine what that would taste like. I have had such a cookie, and it is not good. Actually, in this case, the baker intentionally left the sugar out. It was my ninth grade science teacher, and he was trying to teach us about making observations. And so he had us make all the visual observations about this cookie until our mouths were watering and we couldn't wait to eat the cookie. But looks were very deceiving, and we ended up very disappointed when we were allowed to actually eat the cookie. Some ingredients are so important, leaving them out or getting them in the wrong proportion throws off the entire recipe. And yet, sometimes, we are oblivious to the essential ingredients in the Christian life. Without certain ingredients, we might have the appearance of righteousness. We might look okay on the outside, but when you dig a little closer, when you actually see it in its fullness, we might be missing something essential. And this is what is happening in the book of Malachi. And in fact, they're not just forgetting one ingredient. Week by week, we're seeing different ingredients that the people of Judah are forgetting. So the first week, the missing ingredient was that they didn't know the love of God. They thought that God had abandoned them. Last week, we saw that they did not honor God as they should. And this week, the missing ingredient is their lack of faith. It's faithlessness. Now, if we're honest, faithlessness, or rather faithfulness to God and to one another, is too often a missing ingredient in our Christianity. Right? We know we should be faithful to God, but when we think about our relationships with one another, we might really fall short. We might really lack faithfulness to each other. And so this question, this passage poses the question, how can I be faithful as the Lord has called me to be faithful? How can we as a church be faithful as the Lord has called us to be faithful? And I hope what we see today is that faithfulness to God will show up in our faithfulness to one another. Faithfulness to God, it will come out in how we treat one another. We're going to see this in two parts. We're going to see it through the lens of the faithlessness of Judah. First, faithlessness toward God, verses 10 through 12, and then faithlessness toward one another in verses 13 to 16. Faithlessness toward God, faithlessness towards one another. There's going to be this vertical aspect and this horizontal aspect that we see just really intertwined throughout. In fact, as we consider faithlessness towards God in verses 10 through 12, we immediately see that faithlessness towards God, the vertical aspect, and faithlessness to one another, the horizontal aspect, are inseparable. Look at verse 10. Have we not all one Father? Has not one God created us? So right there we see God. Why then are we faithless to one another? This is the horizontal. Profaning the covenant of our fathers. Once again, this is the covenant between God's people and God. And so there's this vertical aspect. And so it's showing that faithlessness to God is very linked to faithlessness to one another. And now, to understand how exactly the people are being faithless, it's helpful to understand the context. This is post-exilic. That means that the people had been taken from their land in judgment, and now they have returned back to the land. And in fact, they've been in the land for 100 years, but situations are not going the way that they had hoped. And in fact, economically speaking, the people are in pretty dire straits. And so we actually can understand the faithlessness of the people through an economic lens. One of the things that's happening is a large-scale pattern where men are divorcing their wives to marry foreign women so that they can be accepted into the trade guilds. So it's really an economic, pragmatic faithlessness. That's why we read in verse 11, Judah has been faithless, and an abomination has been committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. For Judah has profaned the sanctuary of the Lord, which he loves, and has married the daughter of a foreign god. Now, something that strikes me about this is Malachi is addressing the remarriage before he is addressing divorce. That seems logically backwards in my mind. So we should ask, why is Malachi doing this? Well, the point is he is actually pointing a spotlight on the people's faithlessness to God first. The people are being faithless to God by marrying these foreign women, just as their ancestors had done. And we'll get to the significance of that in a moment. But what I hope that we can see is that faithfulness to God is primary. If we are not faithful to God, we will be faithless to one another. So to come back to this issue of intermarriage, there are several texts in the Torah, that's the first five books of the Old Testament, that forbid Israel from intermarrying with people around them. Now, we look at that, and that kind of feels confusing from our modern lens, but to be clear, the point is not to prohibit racial intermarriage of all sorts. That's not the point at all. It's to protect Israel's worship. It's to guard them from marriage that would draw them away from worshiping the one true God. And we know this to be the case because there are a number of examples of racial intermarriage in the Bible that is not condemned. So, for example, Joseph and Asenath in Genesis 41, Moses and Zipporah in Exodus 2, and perhaps the most clear example is Ruth and Boaz in Ruth 4. Now, for some of us, this might still be raising questions in our hearts. Okay, if the issue is that It's religious intermarriage. What does this mean if my spouse is not a believer? Well, I want to just first understand that this is not what Malachi is addressing, right? So we don't want to take what Malachi is addressing and wrongly bring it into our situation. A better text for us for that would be 1 Corinthians 7. There, Paul instructs believers who are married to non-believers to stay committed in your marriage. Show the faithfulness of Christ. You might even bring your spouse to the Lord. So be a faithful spouse and show the love of Christ. That is your call. Whether or not your spouse is a believer or whether you are married at all, we should be aware of how relationships with others impact our relationship with the Lord. Some friendships, even some marriages, can tend to pull us away from the Lord. Now, hear me clearly. That doesn't mean that we automatically check out of those relationships, especially marriage. That would be the exact opposite of what Malachi is saying. But we should be aware. We should be aware of how relationships might pull us away from faithfulness to the Lord, and we should address that. So for instance, you might have friends who are chronically negative about other people, and it might draw you into that negativity. Well, you should remember that you are talking about other image bearers of God. Or maybe if you recognize something in your marriage that is unhealthy, or something in relationships that are unhealthy, that are pulling you away from faithfulness to God, that needs to be addressed. And I'm not going to tell you how to address that this morning with a hacksaw. That probably needs the precision of a surgical knife. It might mean devoting relationships to prayer. It might mean seeking counsel. It might mean setting boundaries. It might require wisdom. And then there's also kind of the flip side of the coin, how we invest in relationships that would lead us towards God. Are we investing in godly relationships, fellowship with one another, discipleship? The goal should be to honor the Lord and let our faithfulness to Him shape and strengthen our faithfulness to one another. And it's not just relationships. A while ago, Katie and I found a TV show that we really enjoyed. We started to really love the plot, and we wanted to know what happens next. It was one of those mystery shows with all the cliffhangers and everything. But there were very clearly questionable themes, and at first we tried to just ignore them. We're like, you know, we can follow the big plot, and we'll ignore this other stuff. But it just got worse and worse and worse until we were like, man, this show is leading us to really some ungodly ways of thinking. And we realized we can't faithfully watch this show. We know that continuing is really unfaithfulness, and so we gave it up. Well, coming back to this situation, these men who are divorcing their wives and marrying daughters of foreign gods, they're not considering the Lord. They're not considering faithfulness to the Lord and how they treat one another. Instead, they are concerned with self-preservation. They are concerned with what will bring them material benefit, and they're even willing to disobey God if they can gain from it. This is pragmatism at its worst. And I wonder, are there ways that we let pragmatism lead us away from faithfulness to God? Would we be willing to disobey the Lord if it leads to a benefit for us? Perhaps it means cutting corners at work to get ahead, or it might mean lying on a job application. It could mean failing to speak up for what you know is right because you're afraid of how you will be perceived. You don't want to damage your relationships. It might be, if you think about how you spend your time and money, do you prioritize comfort, security, pleasure over honoring the Lord? Let us turn to consider our hearts. And then we'll consider also this second part of our passage where we see faithlessness towards God going outwards towards faithlessness to one another. Faithlessness towards one another. We see this in verses 13 to 16. Now, these verses start to shift the focus more to the pattern of men divorcing their wives. And what we see immediately is that faithlessness to one another impacts the people's relationship with God. Right? So verse 13 says, in this second thing you do, you cover the Lord's altar with tears, with weeping and groaning because he no longer regards the offering or accepts it with favor from your hand. But you say, why does he not? Because the Lord was witness between you and the wife of your youth, to whom you have been faithless, though she is your companion and your wife by covenant. So you see how the people are pouring out their hearts in worship. They're trying to express as best they can their individual devotion to the Lord. They really, from the outside, look like they're worshiping with all of their heart, with all of their might, and they're wondering, Lord, why aren't you accepting our worship? And he says, it's because of how you treat one another. Isn't this what Jesus taught as well? He said that if you have an offering, a gift on the altar, and remember that your brother has something against you, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to leave the gift on the altar and go and be reconciled to your brother. And elsewhere, Jesus warns that if you withhold forgiveness from others, that God will withhold forgiveness from you. And so we get a consistent theme in Scripture that faithlessness to others stifles our relationship with God. Faithlessness to one another severs that chain that we have, that connection to the Lord. It hurts our relationship with God. And then this, we see in verses 15 and 16, once again, the inseparable link between faithlessness towards other and faithlessness towards God. It grows stronger as we look at verses 15 and 16. Verse 15 says, did he not make them one with a portion of the Spirit in their union? And what was the one God seeking? Godly offspring. So guard yourselves in your spirit and let none of you be faithless to the wife of your youth. Now, I want to say this verse is very hard to interpret. In fact, that's one of the things that all the commentators say. This is one of the hardest you're going to see in the whole book. And yet, there is something that is very clear about this. God has designed marriage a certain way. And so to be faithless in marriage is to go against God's design. And then continuing in the text, verse 16. For the man who does not love his wife but divorces her, says the Lord, the God of Israel, covers his garment with violence, says the Lord of hosts. So what he's saying is that divorce is very serious. It is, he's equating it with violence. What he's showing us actually is that what the people are doing, this faithlessness towards one another, is both in disagreement with God's design for marriage, but it's also in disagreement with God's character. God who is faithless, God who brings peace and righteousness and who causes righteousness to grow from within. That is what marriage should be. It should be a place of flourishing. But here it's not. Okay, well, of course, this passage is addressing a particular widespread issue of their day, and we don't have the same issue. Right, I don't know of anyone who is divorcing their wife, to join a trade guild. Right, But there's other applications, right? There's other ways that we especially will misunderstand marriage and not live up in faithlessness to spouses. So if you're married, I especially want to exhort you not to look to the world or not to look to situations to decide how you will live in your marriage, but to look to God's word and seek to let that push you towards faithfulness. Faithfulness, yes, in the ways that we typically mean faithfulness in marriage. Do not cheat on your spouse, but faithfulness means more than that. It means being together in harmony, working together to produce what the Lord intends. But now, this concept really applies beyond just our marriages. We can apply this to every relationship in our life. All of our relationships should reflect God's design and God's character for those relationships. So in friendships, how do your friendships show the character of God? Are you faithful to your friends? Or at work, this would look like working diligently in your job as if working for the Lord, following through on commitments, working with integrity, doing what's right, even if you won't be rewarded for it. In the church, faithfulness means supporting each other in prayer and being eager to maintain unity and using your gifts to build others up, living according to God's design and God's character for the church. Every relationship is an opportunity to show faithfulness to others in a way that reflects faithfulness to God. And when we live with this kind of faithfulness, the world around us sees what it means to live in right relationship with God. I hope that we see here that faithfulness to God is primary. That's what's going to drive our faithfulness to one another. Now, I'm not very good at basketball, so please don't hear this as basketball advice. This is just going to be an illustration. All right, but what I understand about basketball mechanics is that it really all starts with the legs, right? Or even the feet, I don't know. It starts down and it works its way up so that a proper basketball shot, you need to start with the lower body and end with the upper body. But if you start with the arms, you're going to be inconsistent. Your shot's going to lack power. It's not right. Brothers and sisters, this is sort of what it's like with our relationships, right? That we need to start with God. If we don't start with our vertical relationship, our horizontal relationship, sure, we might hit shots sometimes. We might show moments of faithfulness, but by and large, our lives will not reflect the faithfulness that God intends. So we have to start with our relationship with God. And when we do, everything else starts to fall into place. Now, just like with a basketball shot, that doesn't mean that it's automatic or easy, right? It is hard work to remain faithful to the Lord and to one another. In fact, just this week, as I was preparing this, as I already had the sermon thought through, for whatever reason, this weekend, I was just grumpy. And I don't know where it was coming from, but I was wanting to be faithful. And Lord bless my wife. She was so gracious and patient with me. But man, I'm like trying to prepare this and seeing I need to be faithful. And I feel so grumpy right now. This is hard work. Now we come to really, the fullness, the thrust of this application is to be faithful. We see this, this section concludes with a command in verse 16. So guard yourselves in your spirit and do not be faithless. We must be faithful. We must be faithful to God and from that, faithful to one another. Brothers and sisters, we know this is easier said than done. Man, God's word shines like a mirror on our hearts. And if we're careful to read Malachi, we will see that we're not so different, right? We might not be doing what these people are doing. You might be thinking, you know, I've been faithful to my spouse. I'm faithful to other people in my life. That is good. Keep being faithful. But if we really examine our hearts under the microscope, we will all see ways that we are unfaithful. Right? Like, for me, if I were left to myself without the Holy Spirit especially, man, I would be utterly hopeless. God exposes our hearts. And in our fallen nature, we are all faithless. We are faithless, starting with our faithlessness to God. We don't worship Him as we should. We don't stick with Him as we should. We leave Him. We don't love God the way that He deserves. And as a result, we don't love others the way that we should, the way that He calls us to. So if we want to apply this text, if we really want to get down to the depths of it and be faithful in the fullest sense, both to God and to one another, then we have to recognize this kind of faithfulness cannot come from us. If you believe that you have enough goodness in you to live this kind of faithfulness, then you have misunderstood. You have either misunderstood your own goodness or you have misunderstood the goodness and faithfulness of God. We so often overvalue our own goodness and we undervalue God's goodness. We think that we can actually measure up. We think that we can be faithful, but brothers and sisters, we cannot. So what do we do? What do we keep coming back to as we see the faithlessness of people in Malachi, as we recognize the faithlessness of our own hearts? We come back again and again and we see that God is faithful when we are faithless. And we see that especially in the cross of Christ. In God's faithfulness, He has provided a way to reconcile us with Him. Jesus lived perfectly faithful towards God, perfectly faithful towards one another, towards man. And He paid the penalty for our unfaithfulness. All who take refuge in Christ can find forgiveness and reconciliation with God. If you've never done that, if you've never found reconciliation with God, I invite you today. The Lord is faithful to forgive. Put your trust in Him. Yes, God's faithfulness is supremely displayed on the cross. Thank the Lord. And He has atoned that we can have relationship with Him. Thank the Lord. But He goes even further than that. God in His faithfulness equips us with a faithfulness that is not our own, so that we can live a new kind of righteousness, a new kind of love to others. And so if we want to apply Malachi's command here, if we want to really guard ourselves and our spirits and not be faithless, then we have to do it in union with Christ. Remember, Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from Him, we cannot be faithful. So abandon that notion. And practically speaking, let's consider what this faithfulness looks like. It means living in a way that is quite unnatural to us. Unlike the men of Judah who put their interests ahead of others, we have to be willing to lay down our own lives for others' good. We must put others before ourselves, starting with God. We put God where He belongs, and then we are able to put others where we ought to. So the application for us is to live out faithfulness in a way that really just reflects the greatest commandment. You guys remember the greatest commandment? Jesus says in Matthew 22, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Do you see that faithfulness and love go together? They are inseparable. See how God shows his love through his faithfulness and how we so often demonstrate our lack of love by our lack of faithfulness. They go together. And we know that Jesus perfectly demonstrates this kind of love. He loved the Father before the foundations of the world. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he demonstrates faithfulness to the Father's will over self-preservation. He was obedient even when it meant death. And he taught us greater love has no one than this, that someone laid down his life for his friends. So we should respond by following his example. We do this in union with him. This sort of love flowing out of union with Christ is the only sure antidote for faithlessness in us. So once again, we're just seeing this pattern in Malachi of confronting faithlessness of the people then and there, but this confronts our own faithlessness. We know God wills us to be faithful, reflecting faithfulness to him and extending out to others. We know if our vertical relationship with God is not right, then our horizontal relationship will not be right. I hope this is what we've seen throughout our time together in this text. So, one really practical thing that we all can do is to examine our relationships. Do they reflect a right relationship with God? As you consider the horizontal relationships in your life. So, a really practical application, think, you might even write down people in your life. People you are close with, friends, coworkers, neighbors, of course your spouse, if you're married, your children. And just try to really go through, what ways am I maybe reflecting unfaithfulness and how can I better reflect faithfulness in these relationships? This kind of faithfulness in a church is a beautiful thing. And yet it's hard work. It means sticking with one another even when it's costly. It means taking on humility, the humility of Christ, bearing with one another in love. Those verses are convicting to me. Man, this is hard. Even when someone makes a mistake, are we willing to forgive as the Lord has forgiven us? It means loving one another with a Christ-shaped love. Even when it's hard to love. And oftentimes, faithfulness is going to look like just the mundane, everyday, normal life of living with the Lord and living with one another in Christ-exalting fellowship. So, maybe you're hearing this, and you're like really battling in a season where you are struggling to be faithful. If that's you, I hope you hear this. And if that's not you, if you are feeling pretty normal, pretty mundane life, well, the call for all of us is going to be the same. It is to guard ourselves and our spirits, to not be faithless, to be faithful. And so would we aim to be a people that are marked not by a human kind of faithfulness, but by a faithfulness that comes from the Lord. Our faithfulness to God is going to show up in how we treat one another. So the question I leave us with today is, will we be faithful?